I've got Dr. Mark Snapper on the line. He is the medical director for urgent care with Nova Health, and we're going to talk measles this morning. Dr. Snapper, give me a little background of your medical training, though.
So I'm board certified in emergency medicine. I've been working at McKenzie Willamette Medical Center here in Springfield, Oregon, basically since I finished 1999-2000. And I've been involved with Nova Health since the beginning, but have been medical director of the urgent care side of things for a couple of years now.
So one of the things that's been happening in recent years now, it hasn't just been this last outbreak, but measles is sort of having a comeback. Can you talk about how that's happening or what your perception of it, of how it's happening?
Yeah, actually, public health, both from Lane County Public Health, has been doing a really good job of informing local providers, as well as the CDC, as getting out information. And actually, I recently read a report from the CDC that showed that in 2019, we've actually had the highest number of cases reported since 1994. And the two main reasons that seem to be relevant are the decreased vaccination rates, and additional contributing factors are those that travel worldwide. So we have some cases that come to the United States from worldwide travelers who are under or unvaccinated as well. But the vast majority of the outbreaks in the United States still occur within smaller populations that have large unvaccinated rates.
Can you talk a little bit about what the measles virus is and how that is contracted so that we kind of get a little idea of, because, you know, you think if you eradicate something, it kind of disappears. So, but then it shows up again. So how does that work?
So when cases are considered eradicated, like smallpox was a long time ago, measles was actually considered almost eradicated back in 2000. When the CDC reports a disease that's eradicated, it basically falls under a threshold where there are no new cases that pop up. Unfortunately, the measles virus is pretty indolent, meaning that it can live in environments and not really cause significant disease at very, very low levels. You'll see a few patients kind of pop up with the disease, but there are carriers. I hate to use the expression, but to some extent, it's kind of like Typhoid Mary. There are carriers. We all have carriers of infectious diseases, and not everyone gets infected. And then those that are unvaccinated and can't fight off the disease before it becomes apparent, those are the new cases that develop. And so it's incredibly important for all of us to be vaccinated to protect basically the entire community, because you really can't go around and, for instance, spray aerial spraying of a medication that might eradicate the disease in its form of kind of living in the environment, so to speak.
So as a child of the 60s, I don't remember my parents getting in a fervor about this. I mean, I remember getting a measles vaccination, measles, mumps, rubella, and stuff like that, but I don't remember it being so, I'm not sure the word I want, just so fretful on people's minds. What has happened today that's different from when we were doing it back then?
So I think actually, that's actually a big misconception. As far as the general population. And I think that's one of the things that those of us who are in the public health domain, are really trying to combat. And that is that because we don't see it on a day-to-day basis, we lose the the relevance, if you will. And actually, if you talk to patients who are older population who did have it within their community, they will share with you cases of, they knew a friend who was hospitalized in the ICU because they had mumps or measles. They family members died. I mean, if you look at children death rates from the 1940s and 50s before the vaccination was available, they were much higher than they are today. You know, a classic example, measles is just one of those diseases that the population as a whole was accustomed to. This is just something you get, whether it be chickenpox, polio, smallpox, for that matter, you know. And so the thing is in those days prior to the vaccination, some of the reasons why people don't think of it as such a serious illness is because it was so prevalent. In fact, you're considered immune if you were born before, I believe, 19. If I can't remember the date off the top of my head, I apologize. But before the vaccine was available, because it was so prevalent. But that didn't mean there weren't thousands of cases of children and adults who were hospitalized, some getting critically ill with pneumonias and meningitis, that didn't happen. It did happen. It just was on such a large scale that patients got measles that it was just felt to be something that they lived with. And nowadays, we don't see those types of illnesses on a broad scale, so we kind of diminish their importance, even though they can be quite life-threatening when there really is no specific treatment.
And even too, back then, we didn't have the information highway that we have today to bring us the information of what's going on in other communities. So we may not have been, if we weren't in a pocket that suffered from a measles outbreak, we weren't necessarily understanding of how deep the issue went.
That's absolutely true.
Now, in today's, I've got to touch on this because I will have people that will call me up and harass me because I didn't mention this. But in today's vaccine regimen, is there an opportunity for someone to just get a measles vaccination, or is it still lumped with several different vaccinations at once?
Yes, it's the measles vaccination is part of the measles, mumps, rubella. You can opt in for a varicella component as well to decrease the number of injections, if you will. But in and of itself, it only comes in either form with mumps and rubella, and with then with or without a varicella component as well. We have to remember that the reason why it's also combined is to decrease, of course, the number of vaccination injections a child or adult would get, but also, you know, rubella and mumps can be also severe, especially rubella for pregnant women and the subsequent infant mortality and problems that can occur. So the reasons for combining them are to improve effectiveness as well as prevent serious disease kind of in with one vaccination.
So what is the situation currently like right now? I think I heard a report about a week ago that they considered it, at least in Oregon, as the outbreak was over. But has there been any new cases since that last report?
Correct. There's have not been any new cases since the last report. And the reason it's considered over is because of the transmission and the incubation period has passed from the last known case. So if a new case were to arise, it would create a new sort of epidemiologic pattern that you would have to try and isolate where it came from, because the original infected person who had led to the outbreak here in Oregon, the virus should no longer be present amongst that population that he interacted with.
And measles doesn't have like a seasonal thing like a flu does, right? I mean, this can be contracted any time of the year, any conditions. Is that correct? Okay. So the number one thing people need to do is they need to schedule a vaccination. What about older folks, older Americans? Are they safe now, or do they need to, is there a, you know, like a booster or something that they need to look into?
No, again, we talked about how older patients who were around prior to the time of vaccination, that it was so prevalent in the community, but that they were, in essence, deemed immune based on the fact that it was prevalent in their community. We know that to be the case if you were to actually measure titers and the like. It's really for those patients where it wasn't endemic in the community, which would be those born in the more recent years, and it's part of the vaccination schedule for children as well as adults. If they're not sure, they should talk with their healthcare provider and go over when they might have been vaccinated. There are ways to kind of figure out whether or not you were vaccinated or not as a child. If there's concerns, they can look through records. They can check for antibodies presence if need be. But the vast majority of those patients who were born before 1957 are considered to be immune based on the prevalence of disease and the lack of vaccination.
So what information can you give parents to, especially those who are against vaccinations? What sort of information can you give them to kind of ease their concern? Because I know that when I talk to the opposite side of the anti-vaxxers, most of them are not totally against vaccines. They're just against the amount of vaccines that a child has to get at one time. So what can you do to speak to their fears?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I think, I certainly understand it seems like a lot is being given at a young age. I think it goes back to understanding why it's being done in the first place. The vaccines are being done for the vast majority of illnesses to prevent things that we don't have true treatment capabilities for. And so the risks of problems with the vaccines are vastly outweighed by the potential for serious illness in a child. And the caveat to measles and some of these vaccines with regard to older children is there are several vaccines that are not given. So measles vaccine is not given to a child until they're one. And so the importance of getting everyone vaccinated on the timely pattern is because of those really young infants. They require the herd immunity that we all carry by being resistant by having our vaccines. So they're not even given a vaccine until they're 1 year of age. So everyone who interacts with a newborn child in the first few months of life needs to be protected for that child. The risks, unfortunately, nothing is without any potential. There's certainly some potential of adverse event, but again, it's vastly lower than the problem of if a child were to get sick with the actual disease. And to try and ease fears a little bit, I know that vaccines carry a certain stigma. I would be naive if I didn't understand that. And I think that as healthcare professionals, all we can try and do is provide appropriate education with an understanding that there unfortunately were published reports of problems with the vaccines, which are not accurate. And they need to be outweighed by the preponderance of evidence of how safe the vaccines are. And it is something that I think we as healthcare professionals need to be open to. I know in our primary care clinics, our providers would like the opportunity to talk with patients and family members with regard to vaccine questions directly one-on-one so that they can have a more educated and personal experience with a provider to try and fill in the blanks where maybe there are questions that exist.
So if people do have questions, is there a number that you guys have set up that they could call to get this information, or should they contact their primary care physician?
They should contact their primary care physician. And we have, as I mentioned, we as part of our system, we have urgent care, primary care clinics that are seeing and taking patients. We feel that this is a discussion that really should take place on a more personal level for people who have questions, rather than necessarily having a 1-800 number, if you will. I definitely feel that the web is a great resource, but I think it's important that people use good resources. The CDC, for instance, is a great resource for anyone who wants to look up questions about things, whether it be measles or other infectious disease, and that's at cdc.gov. And they have very good, direct, clear information that's available for anyone with access to the web.
All right. Dr. Schnapper is the medical director for urgent care for Nova Health. Dr. Schnapper, thank you so much for giving us this information today. It's always good to have education when it comes to our health. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time.
And coming up next, we'll talk to a couple ladies who are part of the Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center Volunteer Corps, right after this on the January edition of Our Town.